You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been a dangerous month on Lake Michigan. So far in August, 10 swimmers have drowned. One is still missing. The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project is a nonprofit that tracks drownings in our Great Lakes. And Dave Benjamin from the project is here with us now. Dave, is this month typical?
Believe it or not, we're well below the average that we have on Lake Michigan. We just have seen a large spike in drownings this month, which, you know, is still about average or even under average what we normally have.
So what we're here, we got these headlines, but you're saying as far as looking at the year, we're actually even a little under?
Last year, 40 people drowned in Lake Michigan, and right now we're at 23.
What about all of the Great Lakes? Where are we at for this year now?
All the Great Lakes, there have been 68 drownings. And if we look at, since we've been tracking drownings in 2010, 691 fatal drownings on the Great Lakes. On average, half of all Great Lakes drownings happen in Lake Michigan.
Interesting. Why is that? Why is Lake Michigan so particularly dangerous?
Looking at the lake population density from like Milwaukee, Chicago, Northwest Indiana, and Southwest Michigan, it's also a tourist destination, and there's also a huge lack of lifeguards on the Great Lakes, especially in the Michigan side. Chicago, Illinois has quite a few beaches with lifeguards. Indiana has a handful. They're almost non-existent in Michigan.
The World Health Organization has called drowning a neglected public health issue. Why do you think that is, Dave?
Just the large numbers of drownings that happen around the world. So what we need to understand is that drowning is a public health issue, and most people don't understand it as a public health issue. It doesn't get treated like a public health issue. If you would think a public health issue like the Zika virus, that was back in 2016, the World Health Organization called Zika virus a public health issue, then sitting President Obama requested and eventually received $1.1 billion of funding for education, outreach, and research. But at the time, less than 10 people in the United States had died from Zika. But on the flip side, on average, 10 people per day die drowning in the United States. And it's like a hidden or silent epidemic. Nobody really knows about it. We don't educate enough about it. If you ask anywhere in the United States, what do you do if your clothes catch on fire? They'll tell you stop, drop, and roll, because they have been taught that since preschool. And then if you ask people, you know, what do you do if you're drowning? Most people don't know. They don't have the first idea, but they would probably say that they know how to swim.
I saw on your website, because I went to glsrp.org, and I saw 66% of all drowning victims are good swimmers.
Correct. Oftentimes people think, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, these drownings are happening. We need to teach people to swim. And there's a difference between knowing how to swim and knowing how to survive. So if you were to ask people, hey, how many people know how to run? You know, everyone knows how to run, but how many people can run a marathon? It's a small percentage. And we need to understand that a drowning situation is a marathon for your life. So you need a survival strategy. You need to know that you have to pace yourself. What happens with drowning is somebody swims out past their physical ability, their endurance, and then they start to panic, and they're having a panic attack, and they exhaust themselves, and they submerge. And what we need people to understand is when you get to that point where you start having the panic attack, the exhaustion, you need to do the opposite of your instinct. Your instinct is to fight to survive. You need to flip over on your back and float, relax, get some deep breaths in. So flip, float, and follow. Flip over on your back and float. Float to keep your head above water, float to calm yourself down from the fear and panic of drowning, float to conserve your energy, and then follow a safe path out of the water. So float first, exit strategy second. We tell people it's not rocket science. If you want to survive a drowning incident, you have to stay at the surface and continue breathing until you either self-rescue or professional rescue arrives. If you can't get through the first minute of panic, you're likely going to exhaust yourself and submerge. So you got to roll over and float. And we understand it's not going to be the easiest task, but it's going to be a combination of running water and floating, you have to conserve your energy and just get over the fear of like, if you're 100 yards offshore or how far you are from safety, is that you got to stay at the surface. Everything, your energy, your efforts, your concentration should be staying at the surface and continue breathing.
Dave, three of the victims on Lake Michigan in the last week were youngsters, ages 14. A couple of them were 14. One was 10 years old. What do you want to say to parents about their kids and being in the lake?
We need to, you know, again, understand it's a breakdown of education. Oftentimes when a drowning happens of a young child, the public opinion is to blame the parents or caregivers or blame it on the victim. And we need to understand that that stigma of drowning is really unfair. And we need to understand that kids today, they're buckled up since birth. You can't leave the hospital without an infant carrier seat. And we don't do that with water safety. And you know, what we recommend is buy life jackets. Buy life jackets for anyone in your family. And whenever you go to water, just make sure you bring them. Because if it's rough situations, you put the life jacket on, you're likely, you know, better chance of survival, likely, you know, less than 1% chance of drowning. But we need to understand hands-on touch supervision, staying with the swimmers at all time. If someone ever gets in trouble, put a life jacket on. If you're going to go out and make a rescue or take something else with you that floats, better yet, even don't get in the water, throw something that floats. A football, a soccer ball, anything that floats could be enough to interrupt the drowning process.
There's so much good information on the website, and we have put a link to the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project on the stateside page at michiganradio.org. And Dave Benjamin, we want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
All right, thank you very much.